燃えるときめきは時代を映し、色鮮やかに燃え盛る炎。今は見えなくとも道しるべは浮かぶ。
Welcome, everyone, to the Great Gundam Project. We're here to talk about Gundam.
You didn't introduce us. You did it. You finally fucking did it. You're the best.
I did it. Thank you. I gave the enthusiasm. I didn't, you know, start telling you who we are. You know who we are. It's Gundam. We're here to talk about it. Have we watched any anime? Fuck you. No, we haven't.
I am playing Kirby, which is basically an anime. I heard Dragon Ball Super ended. I looked at some of the like screenshots, and I'm like, man, I should watch Dragon Ball Super.
Yes, it is ending at the moment. There's a movie going. I don't think they're like ending Dragon Ball yet.
But
they're continuing.
No, the last episode of Dragon Ball Super aired last night, and it looked cool.
Yes, no, I've seen some screenshots as well. Dragon Ball Super looks like a good show.
Yeah. It continues to just look like Dragon Ball, in which all the villains become friends and everyone fights forever.
Yeah, no, Dragon Ball. You can't change that. I mean, I guess, like, it doesn't, you know... Dragon Ball changed once, and it was when it became Dragon Ball Z, right? Like, it stopped being about
children. Well, I know GT is, like, a different thing, and some people really don't like it. I've never seen GT, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because Super doesn't, like, acknowledge GT, right?
It's completely... Yeah, GT... I don't think Toriyama worked on GT, and it's generally considered not canon anymore. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know shit about Dragon Ball, and you know like things from your childhood about Dragon Ball.
I know a lot about Dragon Ball Z. I know about the first half of Dragon Ball, and that's it.
Because you've read it, but that's yes, I've read like the first volume of the manga. It's so cute. I should get back to it.
Yeah,
but no, I haven't watched anime as ever at the moment. Very busy with work.
Yeah, we got a correction. We got a couple, but only one of these matters for what we're going to talk about. It's not even a correction, I think it was someone in the Discord said the literal translation of the word they use for cyber new types means augmented person and not necessarily cyber new type. So the conflagration, what's the word I want here? Tripping over my tongue.
What? The confluation?
There's a G in that word, is there not the word I want? Anyway.
I mean, you meant the confluence.
Yes, of this word with the word new type is entirely in the translation.
Okay, so those were never like meant to be similar.
Yeah, I guess
concepts.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. When we said someone, we meant Camille with a C, resident Gundam expert.
I don't remember if it was Camille or not.
Yes, that was definitely Camille.
Okay.
I remember that message.
Okay. Well, shout out to Camille.
As ever, shout out to Camille.
Yeah. The third host who will never be on this show.
We don't know that.
Yeah, I know that.
Do you?
No, I don't know. I'm just talking out of turn. I realized this week that I really like Gundam, even when on any given week I might not actually like the episodes we're watching. This is who I am now.
We've watched it in a way where we can get into it and talk about it and argue about it in a way that we like care about the thing, even if we don't enjoy, you know, the actual 40 minutes of anime because of how we're discussing it.
Yep.
Which is always a good... That's basically what you want when you get into anything, is to be able to enjoy it and pick it apart whether it's good or bad.
Yep.
So I guess that's the key. We're going to get into talking about Gundam. Episode 15 of Zeta Gundam is called Katz's Sorte. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
It is. Yes, that is correct. We looked it up.
We looked up the pronunciation of Sorte.
We looked up the pronunciation of Katz.
Yes. No, we didn't. yes, no. I've only like seen that in subtitles in anime and written down in Ace Combat games. So I've been like, time to sortire from this hangar.
Oh, I thought it was always sortie.
Like, sortie.
Straight up. Sortie. The most American way of pronouncing anything.
I'm gonna go sortie.
Gonna go sortie, yeah. Why not? Sorte.
So, what happens in this episode?
So I have one of these rough summaries, so feel free to chime in, fill in any gaps, whatever. I was mostly just kind of in watching the episodes this time. Mm-hmm. Brown's getting his ship repaired. Razamia tries to join his team, but he has no time for the cyber new types. Razamia thinks the Aeyug is people who want to destroy the Earth by dropping colonies on them, but Brown says they would never pollute the Earth this way, though she retorts that she's been having dreams for as long as she can remember that that's exactly what they're going to do, drop colonies on the Earth. Zeon dropped a colony on the Earth, right? Like, this is the thing that's happened,
so
right?
Here's what... I don't know how much we want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because I don't know. So, all I know is that I have seen a GIF of a colony being dropped on the Earth, and I was told, oh, that's a thing from a thing from a prequel thing. And I'm like...
And the opening of Mobile Suit Gundam opens with a colony being dropped.
Yeah, so I've seen that. I've seen a colony being dropped on the Earth. But I don't... And I've, like, heard... I guess I'll talk about it. So sorry if this is spoilery, because I literally don't... I don't know enough specifics to actually know, so no one correct me, because we keep this as vague as possible going forward. But just laying out this discussion, I know that colonies being dropped is a thing. It is in the opening of the show, the first show. I know that Shah's involved with one of those in a prequel thing, I think, but that's all I know. So, like, unless that's not true, and this, like, the big climactic twist ending of the series is Shah drops a colony on Earth, which I could see happening, I guess, but I don't think so. I don't know. So, like, that might be where this is going, and I can't tell if that's actually where this is going or just other things I've heard in Osmosis. I'm trying my best to ignore it and just watch the shows at this point, because we'll get there.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. We're rapidly approaching the end of my knowledge of Zeta.
Yes.
In my memory.
But colonies being dropped is a thing that has happened in the past in this universe. That is just a fact.
Yes. Hayato and Amuro chat, and Hayato mentions that he knew cats would come with them if he could get out from under Frau Bo, but he's glad he got there, and he's ready for him to be trained as one of the Karaba agents. He hopes that Amuro will be the one to personally train cats, but then Amuro complains cats is clearly meant to train him how to be a soldier again after whining in his mansion for 7 years.
Yes.
Then they have a conversation about Quattro. Amuro is not yet ready to call Char Quattro, which everyone's like, come on, it's Quattro now. Come on, get it right, Amuro.
Amuro's like, but he's Char. What are you all doing? And then
not
like,
everyone knows that.
Yeah. A lot of furtive looks across corridors in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Camille is tasked with training Katz, who's already piloted mobile suits before. Katz talks about having foster parents, and Camille asks about Amuro, and Katz talks about Amuro just isn't the hero that he used to be. The person he remembered on the white base doesn't seem to exist anymore. Also in this is Char and Hayato walking past, and Hayato's like, oh, I hope we find information from Kai eventually. Who can say if we'll get that information? And Char's like, clearly, you never believe in your closest friends. Kai will get it done. Don't worry. Kai's a good guy. And he is a good guy. He will get it done. Don't worry.
Yeah, he's Kai. Everyone loves Kai.
Everyone loves Kai. The amount that we have, like, Quattro and Amuro in this episode being like this weird rival mentorship, and then the way both of them relate to both Katz and Camille is really good.
Yes, all this stuff is good. Like, the addition of Amuro into the crew is apparently what has made me like, I'm here for this now. I care about the interaction.
I don't think it would be good if it was just Amuro. I think it has to be Amuro and Katz.
Well, the whole thing, like, Amuro is there and Char is there, and like they now have to confront this like weird thing within themselves, and Katz has to be there as this like parallel for Amuro in the one-year war. Camille has to be there as like the new Amuro, so Amuro can be like, oh, you don't need me anymore, me. And I don't know, I like everyone getting all, you know, sad and stuff. That's me. I like it when the boys are sad, apparently.
Quattro and Amuro chat with each other finally, and Amuro wants to know why Quattro's here on Earth. He dodges the question and suggests that Amuro worry more about himself than about Quattro. He then mentions that he believes that Lala's spirit is still trapped in Earth's gravity because he cannot feel it outside of Mars, and that Amuro's inaction might be the same thing as helping the Titans. It is the same thing as helping the Titans. Don't worry about it.
Quattro slash Shah here is...
I will continue to call him Quattro. That's just what I do.
Me as well, but in the interaction with Amuro, that becomes harder.
Yes.
But in this specific conversation, he is so much better at, like, words than Amuro.
Yes.
Because Amuro's just a baby.
Yes.
And, like, Amuro's like, so why are you on Earth? I've got you. I'm going to ask you the question. And then he basically like does a 360 like flip verbally and is like, haha, but have you considered this? And
well, then he's also like, I'm here to make fun of you. That's the answer you want, right?
Yeah, no, he says something like that. He's like, yeah, no, I came here to laugh at you. The way he revels in just like needling Amuro is great.
Because he's not here for Amuro. He never was here for Amuro.
No.
He does not give a fuck about the special boy.
I mean, he does a little.
Yeah, but he is going to carry on regardless of whether Amuro is ready for him or not. Yeah. He has his own plans.
Always and forever. Amuro is just kind of here for now.
Anyway. Camille then chases after Amuro and asks him how he can live up to the legacy of being the second Gundam protagonist. But then Amuro turns it around and says, hey, what did Katz tell you? Why are you needling me with questions? And then Camille, as an adult is stern with him, runs away afraid and sad.
I read that scene a little differently.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that is what happens.
Yes.
But what he says is like, what did Katz say to you earlier? You were talking to him. And like, I read that as Camille being like scared of Amuro as a new type who has like sensed that he talked to Katz.
Yes. But Amuro's also like demanding that this person he barely knows and idolizes him rat on someone else to
yes.
him.
Yes. And then Camille just runs away because that's what he does.
Yes. Yes.
Also good is the bit where what Camille does to like try to get with Amuro, like get in his good books, is like, hey, here's your snack. And Amuro looks at him like, have I ever eaten a snack?
It's true.
I care about robots. I do not care for snacks. I've never eaten a snack in my life.
Yeah. I mean, this is canon. He spent days not eating in Mobile Suit Gundam. So.
And Camille has done the same thing. They should know this.
I feel like Camille has like adjusted to life of being a soldier much better than Amuro ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Watts, Katz spots a biplane and it rendezvous with the ship. Aboard is Beltorchika of Karaba, who Katz immediately falls for. Katz is sent to retrieve Amuro, and then he pesters him with questions about the Gundam while Amuro's taking a shower. And Amuro's mostly a huge brat about being replaced when he spent years at home whining in his mansion once again.
Once again.
Then Amuro goes with them to rendezvous or to meet with Beltorchika and immediately falls for this lady because Amuro also will fall for any lady that appears. And then she walks up to him and then sniffs him and is like, huh, Helen soap. Why do you have this aboard? I don't know why this is a plot point, but it made me laugh that there's a soap called Helen soap. Well, I have in my notes Helen soap, just so a single line.
She compliments his soap. And then instead of him going like, yes, thank you very much, what he does is turn to Hayato and go, we've got Helen soap.
Yes. And Hayato just shrugs comically.
Oh, the amount that Hayato is just like, reveling in being the only normal person in this fucking universe is incredible. I mean, like, relatively speaking.
Beltorchika asks Amuro about being a new type during the meeting, and she talks about the idea that new types might just be weapons with murderous intent, and she finds it hard to trust someone who is forged by war. Quattro happens to walk by right then, and she's uneasy by his presence, almost as if she might be the exact thing she's talking about. She talks about how he seems like someone who can't live without war, someone unable to live with peace. Amuro gets mad and defends him over, saying that she doesn't know who Quattro is at all, and angrily leaves the meeting.
Yes, no, she specifically says that Quattro doesn't have a peaceful imagination.
Yes, which I've been saying for about a month now.
Yes, no, that has been your like main point of critique, so the show knows. Yes.
You know,
I'm glad
someone else just said, this guy has lived his entire life like oppressed and fighting off oppression. He has no idea what peace is. I mean, Amuro's idea of peace is stupid, but like, I assume people like Hayato understand that it's like, oh, it's like living with my family and raising my son to pilot a Zeta or a Zaku in his spare time or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Amuro's idea of it is like, whatever. Amuro's just too traumatized a boy to think about anything in big
terms. But like, Amuro's whole perception of peacetime was to go in his mansion and fly planes and wait for someone to tell him he can do something again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, I mean, you're right about like Hayato has a better idea.
That's not the same thing as living.
Mm-hmm. I just mean that, like, I feel like Hayato knows what he's fighting for, right? Like, Hayato has people he's fighting for. Other people.
Almost everyone on the White Base seems like they figured out some way to, like, understand what living is as, like, functional humans, except for Quattro and Amuro.
Yes, and in like, completely opposite ways.
Yes. My question, I guess, going forward, and this will, like, come up a little later also, is Beltorchika supposed to be a new type? Is that the implication?
So, was confused along two axes. We're skipping a little bit ahead in something that happens in this episode, but there is a line she gives where she says she's been having the same dreams about the colony drop.
Yes.
Which was Rosamina who was having those, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're right. Shit. I didn't even pick that up. Because when I was writing them out, I was like, oh, right. The colony drop dreams. We already talked about that. But no, that's an entirely different character.
Yes. And I was like, wait, hang on. Is she an agent from the... No, that was a different character. And also, I was considering that as like, wait, I was just told that cyber new type doesn't actually mean new type. It's a completely different thing. But here's... a cyber new type giving like this exact extremely new type vision of like future war. So I don't know like what's going on here. I don't know whether this means that Beltochka is an actual new type or whether she's a cyber new type / enhanced person. I don't know where that's going.
Is there visions of colony drop like a scar on the planet in like a Final Fantasy VII way, or is it like a vision of the future?
I'm reading it as like a vision of the future. And I'm going to be shocked if we get through this show without a colony being dropped on something.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair.
People start talking about it and they don't, and no one says, ah, you must be remembering the famous time a colony dropped and fucking wiped out an entire continent. Because, like, that happens in the opening of Gundam and everyone knows about it, but no one, like, brings the conversation that way. So, it's something is going to drop on someone.
Yes.
Is my prediction. But yep, yes.
My next line of notes here just says, rip San Francisco. They fly over San Francisco. It's ruined, like everything else on Earth.
Yep. Goodbye, San Francisco.
Did not survive as well as Dublin did.
No, it did not.
Well, it's weird because I always think of the Golden Gate Bridge just existing in the far future as a thing that will happen. Obviously,
because that's how Star Trek always denotes it.
Yes,
I think of the Golden Gate Bridge as a thing that will be infinitely destroyed and infinite possibilities.
Okay, because I specifically think of it as like, oh, when you show that, it's just the bridge and it's a set piece of you're on Earth in the future.
Yeah,
fucking I mean, that's Star Trek.
Star Trek is the exception to me, because like every other movie that ever happens in San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge is destroyed in every single one. Yep. Even if it's not a sci-fi movie, just wow, it's an obligatory sequence of the bridge being destroyed.
Yes. Over the ruins of San Francisco, the Ayuk are waylaid by Razamia, heading out to prove herself to Braun. Everyone launches, including Katz, who gets in the Gundam before Camille and commandeers it, taking off before anyone can stop him. Camille gets in the Rickidius instead, and Hayato points out when Amuro tries to get into his ship that Katz has more familiarity with modern suits than Amuro, and Amuro should probably just sit this one out. Amuro seems very relieved to be sitting out a battle, and Beltorchka senses that Amuro has an innate fear of fighting. This is where I wrote down perhaps she's a new type, because she basically has like the intuition flash of Amuro being quaking with fear.
I mean, and then the screen goes all green.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm assuming she's definitely a new type, or maybe, like, this is why I got confused about the cyber new type thing, because, like, she was saying the same things as that character. So, like, maybe that's, like, a different set of powers that we're not clear on. I'm assuming this will become clear eventually, but she definitely has, you know, whenever Gundam introduces some kind of, like, beautiful fey woman, they always have to sense something.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. Like,
that's a trope.
Matilda
now
didn't sense anything.
That's a trope now. Who didn't sense anything?
Matilda.
No, but she almost. I don't know. They got close.
No, she only showed up to drop off guns and fly away again.
Yeah, but Amuro still looked at her, and like the screens happened, and he was like, "Oh, Matilda, you've got red hair."
Yes, but that doesn't mean she sensed anything. That's not the same thing at all.
No, I'm saying that like Gundam is very specific with its portrayal of like fucking women in war.
Yes, no,
they
that's
are always
sure.
like representative of something that usually the guy characters want, usually some kind of piece that will inevitably be ripped incredibly. And this is often we're going to have infinite fake Lalas.
In battle, Katz is useless. Razamia wonders whether or not the Gundam operating like an idiot is a strategy until he clearly sucks too much for her to bear and she's about to finish him off. The rest of the heroes arrive and she uses the Gundam as a shield to protect herself. Camille berates Katz, who proves somewhat useful as he attacks Razamia's mobile suit and gets the drop on it as it sneaks up behind Camille. Razamia ejects as the ship is destroyed and Camille's stunned his opponent is a woman. Camille is dumb.
And Shah's like, Quattro is like, Camille, you're dumb.
Yes. Immediately cut to Katz getting the fuck punched by his dad.
Last week we talked about how Hayato, the only good person in Gundam, will not punch a child.
To be fair,
punches a child in the face.
In this instance, he almost gets killed, and I understand why, even just as like a scared dad, you might just like be upset with your child to the point where you would like be angry at them.
Yes, but Gundam means, like, Gundam has a context of punching children.
Yes. Yes, but I think I like it doubly is understandable why Hayao does this time. Doesn't make it right necessarily, but I see how this happens.
Yes, no. And the show definitely plays it as him also being scared for his kid. It's not just like, I will militarily punch anyone. Like, he cares for Kat and doesn't want him to, like... Because Kat basically is like, oh, Amuro can't be the old Amuro. What if I just do something old Amuro would do? Like, get in the Gundam randomly.
Well, then Kat's is like whining. He's like, oh, but I shot her ship. Like, maybe I'm a new type. I figured it out before Camille could. And Camille's like, well, he did figure it out before I could. And then Hayao's like, shut up. You almost got killed. We can't, like, risk you on luck. That's stupid.
It's like, just because new types are a thing doesn't mean that you can do anything and say, oh, it's mine. I'm special.
Yep. So they have a big argument. Amuro walks away, and then Quattro, to himself, wonders what it will take to get Amuro back in a mobile suit again when these kids are the ones doing all the fighting and potentially dying. The end.
Well, we'll find out after the break. Episode 16 is called Through the Haze of Darkness. What happens in this episode?
Badon is ordered not to pursue should the Ayug make it over the Pacific. He doesn't appreciate the Titans meddling in his shit and makes plans of his own to get the capture for the Federation ahead of the Titans. Amuro and Beltorchica talk about their plans. She's trying to get Camille and Quattro to Hickory, I guess? I don't think this is a real place. I don't recognize it. Maybe it is. I don't know. Where they can basically get back into space on another shuttle, and Amuro wonders why she hates fighting but is still part of the Karaba. She sympathizes for him for basically being asleep for 7 years, and then kisses him and says something about, like, oh, I really, what is it? It's like, I need to judge the measure of a man to explain why she did this.
It's like, she's basically saying that when a woman kisses a man out of the blue, it's not because she's like, gonna run away with him. She's testing him. You need to become the man I need you to be. And Amuro basically goes, is that how humans emote? Okay, I will kiss you back. Goodbye.
Well, Amuro then is like, I don't have any time for kissing, and then kisses her again.
The amount that, like, I mean, the show does not portray Amuro as, like, being ace in any way, but the amount that he fucking can't in any way understand how human emotions work is profound in this episode. It's so good. He literally just, like a robot, just returns the kiss. Like, is this what I meant to do? I'm getting in my robot now.
Yes. Well, he's also like, you say you hate war, yet you work with these anti-fascists. How can you gel these two things? She's like, you idiot, you absolute child. You've been asleep for 7 years. That's the only way to justify you being so stupid.
Oh, it's pretty good.
No. Anyway, Amuro then is like, I will help you with your plan. I will help you get them to space, and then I will help you fight the battle. Amuro then asks Quattro to leave a mobile suit with him to join the fight with Karaba, but Quattro refuses, as the final battle will clearly take place in space because it's a Gundam show, and suggests that Amuro come with him into space instead of staying here on Earth where everything sucks. When Amuro refuses, Quattro accuses him of being afraid that if he goes out into space, Lala's spirit will find him, a fear that has been fermenting in him ever since the end of Gundam. We see some flashbacks of the end of Gundam. It's like, oh man, I like the way the show looks, but it doesn't look as cool as Mobile Suit Gundam.
No, you see all the 70s art, and it's so much better. Sorry.
Yep.
Also, in becoming Quattro, Shah has fucking beefed up.
What do you mean?
He's such a, like, tiny boy as Shah. It's just like...
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, he's like, I assume, like, the implication was they were all teens, and now he's just an adult who's been a soldier for 7 years, right?
Yes, but what it actually looked like has happened is that he stopped being a fancy boy and just, like,
got ripped?
Yeah, got ripped as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna start wearing, like, shirtless, sleeveless shirts, and that's how I'm doing, so, like, these guns better show.
Yep, he's like, oh, could you leave me a ship? He's like, well, I can't take the Gundam, the Hakushiki was built for me, so fuck off. And those Rictiuses are specifically Ayug special suits, so if you got captured, they'd know how our suits work, so no, you can't, none for you. Stay the hell on Earth, I guess, but you're not getting any suits. I appreciate how much he just shuts Amuro down.
Yep, he's like, no, but you can come with us, but you won't, because you're a coward, so goodbye.
Yes. Because Lala's out as a space ghost ready to, like, attack you or whatever.
It's funny how, like, last week he says, I came to laugh at you as, like, that would make it easy for you if I actually wanted that. And then immediately comes to laugh at him every 2 seconds.
But it every time he does, it spurs Amuro to action. So clearly it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
Back in the Gundam hangar, Katz gets the news that Quattro's agreed to take him into space under his wing with Hayata's blessing. Katz, of course, is overjoyed. Quattro then observes Amuro getting into the Rictius, presumably to have a big pout. Hickory is raid ready for the Ayug's arrival, and the ship readies to land. Belturtica gets in her plane, and Katz gets in the Rictius with Amuro as they make the descent. The suit's launched head for Hickory. The Akashiki, the Rictius, and the Gundam, all in a team. They're immediately waylaid by the Federation forces, who have spotted the ship, but not the mobile suits. Amuro and Katz head up to take care of them as everyone else heads for the runway. I feel like having a pilot, or like a passenger in the Gundam cockpit is a bad thing to have.
Yes, because there's like a lot of space in there. It's weird.
Yes. Yes, there's not a lot of space. There's just enough space for you to get like really banged around though. And admittedly, the image of Katz in this episode, like just like cowering at Amuro's feet as Amuro is in the cockpit, is really good.
It's a good image, but like it's weird. Like if there's enough space, why wouldn't there be a second seat there? It's just a weird thing. I don't really like introducing the idea of like, oh, you can just take passengers in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly not super built for it, but no. Also, we've seen in most of Gundam where it's like, oh, I can pick you up and put you in the cockpit with me while we go, like, while we recover and go back to ship or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where were we?
Flying through the battle, he's just seen...
Yes, they are fighting. Yes, he says.
The battle rages.
Yes. Camille and Quattro head down, but they get separated as Camille heads back up to look for Amuro. Amuro, up in the sky, gives Katz the gun he had during the 1 year war and sets him off down with Quattro to get into space before he heads, while he holds off Federation forces. So I was writing this out. I don't understand why Katz then pulls the gun on Quattro. What happened here? So please explain this to me.
Here's what happens. Best as I understand it, please. Let us know how wrong we are, but I'm going to break down what I feel like it happens. Okay, so point one, Quattro and Camille land at the shuttle.
Yes.
Amuro is not there, who is meant to be bringing Katz. It's like, why is Amuro not there? He must have got waylaid with something. So Camille goes, I'm going to go get him. Then Camille, because there's a big fog, Camille goes to find Amuro, but Amuro has already gone past him and landed back at Hickory. So Amuro sets Katz down. So then we have Camille and Katz down at Hickory while Camille is gone. Yes. Katz then pulls the gun on on Quattro, because if he did not, there's no way Quattro doesn't immediately get in his Gundam and fucking go after Camille and try to bring everyone back. It's yes. So someone
because,
can get
because
to space.
All the Ayug people are like, we need to get everyone back into space. I also read it as Katz like knows what his father wants and what the what Karaba wants, which is one of these mobile suits. If they stay behind, not a big deal. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
They get more than they bargained for in this one, I guess. But so he holds Quattro at gunpoint. He's like, we're getting on the shuttle. We're going into space. You are not going to take that off. And he's like, well, I guess so, kid. And then they get in the shuttle. Meanwhile, Camille faces off with Baron, but Amuro gathers him up, and the two pilots team up to take care of Baron, fending him off and working to protect the Ayug transport and Belturtica in her plane. The two suits, working together with all their new type powers, are able to destroy Baron's ship, but in doing so, they miss the launch, and Quattro and Katz make it into space without the Gundam or the Rictius. Once again, our heroes on Earth will have to find another way into space if they want to join the battle against the Titans, and Belturtica wonders what kind of man Amuro might be now that he is once again awake. Camille, left with Karaba here on Earth, worries about Fa out of the blue as Amuro and Hayato receive word from Kai in Hong Kong about what might lay ahead for the resistance on Earth as they head out over the Pacific. The end.
Yes. This is the second time in 2 weeks that the end of this show has been, what could it be like now Amuro's back?
In this instance, she's like, I hate men who are cowards, but I hate men who love war more. Who is this person who's come back to me awake now that he has, like, been in battle?
Yeah, like, we'll see, I guess, how... But my expectation is that, I mean, this is just gonna do, once again, the fucking thing that Evangelion copied, where you just have this conflict and tension with Amuro, where he kind of sucks, but they need him to get into the robot, and it'll just be repeating this beat over and over and over again.
Oh, I assumed Amuro's just in the robot now, because the minute that he gets into battle and is like, Katz, please hold on to my knee, don't hide behind me, Amuro's just, like, amazing pilot and just gets shit done with, like, no regard.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, he's gonna be in the robot now, but I assume that, like, we'll have this tension of him really not knowing where he stands and who he is, like, going forwards.
I read it the opposite way. When he gets out of the... When everything's done and he stands around and, like, looks at the letter with Hayato and everyone and they're all in the same jackets, and Camille's standing aside in a spacesuit being like, we're supposed to be in space, you idiots. That the new thing is that Amuro's like found his like group of people who all know who he is and respect him, and Camille's the one who's odd man out still.
Okay. I mean, that's how it could go. I mean, it could just like, this could be done, but I just thought it was odd how the last two weeks like basically ended on a very similar beat of Amuro's back in action. What does this mean? And then the next episode began with Amuro's not in action yet. So I could see it them doing that again. It might not.
I definitely read it as him just like stepping up to be part of Karaba now.
I mean, that's what it happens, but I won't put it past the opening of the next episode to have him moping again.
I don't know. The preview of the next episode does not necessarily elucidate that as being true. I'm very excited for the next episode. We're nearing the last things I remember, because the Hong Kong stuff is the last stuff I remember from Zeta.
Yes, that's so good. We're gonna be just completely blind, both of us.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, I was disappointed when Amuro wasn't going into space. I was like, I want Amuro to be, like, a part of this. I want all the crew. Basically, I want Quattro, Camille, and everyone to be interacting with Amuro. I want that. I want the group.
Our story is not in space. Our story is here until these boys get back into space, right?
Yeah, like, so my assumption was it was going to follow them into space, but then watching Camille not get into space was like, okay, we're staying here, I guess. So this is going to be weird because, like, I enjoy both Amuro and Quattro/Char more when they are together. I think their rivalry / just being foils for each other brings out like the best parts of those characters more. So it's going to be interesting seeing Amuro on his own now.
But you also give Amuro time doing this to get on more equal footing, to where he's like, yeah, I've led Camille around the same as you did for a bunch of time. The boy sucks, but he's the best we've got.
Yep. They're both going to have to teach this boy.
You know, I bet Amuro is way worse at that.
Oh. Easily. Literally all Shah has done his entire life has been like saying the right things at the right moments to influence like the way the world works. Amuro doesn't know how to like brush his teeth. It's gonna... Oh, man, we'll see how this goes. I'm glad that we're staying with Hayato for a while, because Hayato's cool as hell.
Yep.
Another point, the fact that their jackets all just say army on them is great.
It's really good. It's the best.
Because obviously they're all army jackets, but the way we know this is because they just have army written on them.
Yes. My headcanon is that they got them all out of the like museum at Kennedy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It definitely feels like that.
Yeah.
Another point is that after me saying, this is like people flying wooden planes, and then the next episode there's literally someone in a biplane.
Yes, it's very good.
It's very good.
As the plane came and it's like, oh, a blonde lady. I'm like, oh, finally, Sayla's here. Sayla's not here. I'm never going to get to figure out what Sayla's doing.
No, she's not here. She's gone. She's somewhere else.
Someone, please give us Sayla. I liked Sayla a lot. I miss her.
Where the fuck's Mirai?
You have to wait a week for Mirai.
Oh, we're getting back to Mirai? Okay.
Yes.
Because I know that Mirai was like, in
preview
Jabro
of the next episode is like Mirai.
Hooray! Yes, because they're like looking for Mirai, and Jabro Bright's like, hey, Mirai's down there, you can get her out for me. And Quattro's like, sure. And then all the stuff with Jabro happens. Okay, I'm glad we're getting back to Mirai, because Mirai is also very good. When will the power couple reunite?
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I assume Mirai's not going back into space with them. I assume it's just the war boys going into space.
That's my assumption as well, but the power couple is strong. Everyone likes
Mirai. Yeah, but Mirai's like a kids now, because he talked about his wife and kids.
Yep. He's got to have little fucking Bright babies.
Yep.
Bright be a terrible dad, but Mirai be a great mom, so...
I don't know. Bright would be the like most stereotypical military dad.
I guess like he'd be like a bad dad, quote unquote, but you'd know what you're getting. You wouldn't like have any kind of
confusion. I don't think he's bad. He would be distant and maybe a little too strict, but I don't think he'd be like an actual bad father.
Mm-hmm.
Not the kind of like dad that like traumatizes your kids, but maybe one where like when you're like 30, you go up to them and be like, you could have done better.
Why didn't you fucking say anything to me ever, Bright? You know? Why did you just kind of like sit in your chair and go, that's good?
Yes.
Do we have anything else? Because these were some interesting
episodes. No, this was already a long episode. Oh.
A lot happened.
Yeah. Please tell me Beltorchica is a new type show. I just need this.
Yeah.
Also, why is her name Beltorchica? I hate it. I hate it so much. I have to write this out like 7 times.
It's Beltorchica. It's a Pokemon.
I hate you.
It's a fucking Pokemon. Look.
No, it is. It is. I know. It's a Pokemon when it joins an MMA organization.
That's going to do it. for the Great Gunther Project. Thanks everybody.
We'll be back next time with more of this bullshit, I guess.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Amuro.
Amuro.
あの日から信じ